This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Welcome to the New Books Network. I'm your host, Anthony Cao. My guest today is Nikki Alsford. Nikki is a professor in Asia-Pacific Studies at the University of Central Lancashire and has a background as a historical anthropologist. His research focuses on Taiwan studies and comparative ethnohistories across the Asia-Pacific, for instance, when it comes to Taiwanese-Austronesian affairs and interconnections. Nikki's latest book is Taiwan Lives, A Social and Political History. The book presents the last few centuries of Taiwan's colonization-defined history through the lens of 24 individuals. From merchants to activists to pop stars and presidents, Taiwan Lives offers an easily accessible snapshot of who makes Taiwan into Taiwan. Thank you, Nikki, for coming on our show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, let's begin then. As an academic, you've been focused on Taiwan for quite a while, and you also did your master's at National Zhengzhi University in Taiwan. Tell me more about how you first became interested in Taiwan and Taiwan studies.
So as an undergraduate student, I studied anthropology, and my final dissertation explored the issues of displacement. Taiwan featured a lot within the footnotes of many of these writings or this scholarship, and I just wanted to explore this a bit further. So I made the decision to move to Taiwan and to study its culture.
Well, let's talk about Taiwan Lives then. To set some context for our listeners, the book isn't a regular, very long and dense academic monograph. It's like a compilation of biographies and is rather smooth to read compared to big academic tomes. What inspired you to write this particular book in the style that you did, and who are you hoping to reach with it?
So I think to answer the kind of that last question, I wanted to reach out to general readers and undergraduate students who are studying Taiwan to get just a greater sense of what Taiwan is, but also what Taiwan isn't. So one of the major reasons why I chose to write the book in this particular way is that I have a number of research boxes with unused material that I've collected over the years, and I just kind of really wanted to find a suitable outlet for them. And it struck me that this material was not just sets of material that was done in libraries and stuff, but it was also stuff that I'd written down from conversations that I had with different people, whether this was at, you know, coffee shops, tea houses, on public transport. And I just kind of wanted to find a way in which that I can present that. But I didn't want to present it as a series of a story that gave an impression of something that's complete. Though, obviously, I was aware that any book needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it struck me that, like Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales, you could have a book that is purposely written to be incomplete, a sort of storytelling competition. And so here, my 24 lives are the 24 lives that I have decided. But this could be completely different for a reader may have their own 24 lives that they think would could be used to make up a story of Taiwan.
So as you mentioned, you selected 24 different lives to profile for Taiwan Lives. You have everyone from religious ministers to government ministers, you have indigenous peoples, ethnic Han, Japanese, and even some British guys as well. Tell me about how you made those selections. You know, how did you get to your 24 people and your thought process on how to structure that narrative thereafter?
This is an interesting question, since the main stories are from those who I've known either personally or have come about by my other work, and I've engaged with those. And to give one example is the first tale, the story of John Dodd. I first came across John by locating a diary that he had written during the Sino-French War between 1884 to 1885. And the diary was uncatalogued. It sit in the back of other books at National Taiwan Normal University Library when I was studying my master's degree at National Chengdu University. And going through the kind of diary, it kind of struck me that we should know more about who this gentleman was. And so with a bit of detective work, I wrote an annotated version of his diary, which was published by SMC Publishers in 2010. However, since then, more information had come to me from Jod. I was able to reach out to his living family who have been conducting their own family history. And I, you know, it felt a good opportunity to kind of update that in, you know, in his own chapter. John Dodd was born in Preston. It's just a coincidence that the university that I am is situated in his hometown. So it's a nice kind of roundabout way of bringing that story together. And I wanted to kind of structure the book in a way that made sense. I wanted to avoid that completeness aspect that I spoke about momentarily ago. So I chose to combine both the chronologically as well as the thematic discussions within this.
Well, as you mentioned, a book has to have a beginning and an end, even if history, you know, goes on and on. And therefore, you potentially had more than 24 people that you might have wanted to include in a book. You know, were there any specific folks you really wanted to include but couldn't, or just in general, anything that you wish you could have added if the book could be longer?
So I had a story that I wanted to put in, a tale that I wanted to explore, and that is one of the diaspora, Taiwanese in the diaspora. And I wanted to kind of take on a story of a Taiwanese person living outside of Taiwan, one that was maintaining and structuring their identity around that. But as I needed to maintain the 24 stories to kind of give it that similarity to the Canterbury Tales, I instead had to weave her narrative throughout the book without it being explicitly a tale. And I would like to have included Shauna Yang Ryan, the author of Green Island, as a tale. However, because the book was kind of largely, the writing up of the book was largely done during COVID, I felt that I could not ignore Chen Qianren's story as the epidemiologist. And, you know, I needed to take out a story. And so what I did with Shauna Yang Ryan's Green Island is that I intersect this across the different chapters, the different ways in which that she wrote her book.
That's pretty interesting. I guess, you know, folks can also go and read Green Island if they haven't already. A pretty good way of using more narrative form to approach Taiwan's recent history. I guess taking a step back, how might you characterize the overall landscape of Anglophone social histories, in particular of Taiwan? Do you think that there are certain topics or frameworks that should be a bit more emphasized, or, you know, anything that might be somewhat more overplayed or misconstrued as of late?
So I think conceptually, I think more should be done on framing Taiwan as part of the Pacific, as a Pacific island. This is something my current work on Austronesians is centered on. I wouldn't say that any narrative of Taiwan is overplayed. I think any discussions of Taiwan as something in and of itself is always welcoming. I would say that the framing of analysis should shift more away from these kind of colonial layering of, say, cross-strait relations to more kind of understanding Taiwan for its history before colonization.
I see, yeah. Well, definitely a lot going on about the cross-strait angle, to say the least, and perhaps with a lack of emphasis on Taiwan itself, but that may get away from this conversation in the book immediately. In general, I do think that Taiwan Lives is a pretty good way to get folks interested in Taiwan studies or spark their curiosity about Taiwan. I think, you know, your intent in terms of getting, say, undergraduates or general readers is pretty apparent as you go throughout the book. What do you hope that readers can ultimately take away from the book? And, you know, is there any advice that you might have for anyone who wants to start on their journey to learn more about Taiwan in general?
So I think the first thing I want to do is to hope that readers recognize the complexities of Taiwan, and to recognize that Taiwan is layered in different colonial histories, whether or not that these were the colonizations by European powers or the colonization from Japan or its continuing framing within a colonial layer. I think that's important. Taiwan is an island of colonial settlements. And so in this way, its history is similar to others that also have a history of colonial settlement, whether this is the US, Canada, Australia, Otaria, New Zealand. And I think if we were to read Taiwan as nation in and of itself, I think this is the most important thing. But I would ask readers to be cautious of reading Taiwan in relations to others and to see Taiwan as Taiwan.
Well, on that note, I guess in relation to the points around seeing Taiwan in a more broader context, are there any other projects that you're working on now that Taiwan Lives is out in the wild that you'd like to highlight?
Okay, so I'm currently looking at the relationship between traditional knowledge and scientific understandings of climate change. And so one area that I've beginning to start kind of my work on is Taiwan indigenous beekeepers, and looking at how that could be understood in the wider Pacific, particularly around the migrations of pollinators and whether or not that we can see genetic evidence that the movements of people followed the movements of pollinators. And so it's very early stages at the moment, and so there's no findings to report, but I'm working towards putting this together. One of the questions that was asked to me at the recent book launch at the University of Washington is whether or not I would structure this book in this kind of way, in a very biographical way. It hadn't something that dawned on me, but over the past few days, I was thinking a biography of beekeepers. That might be something in an interesting way of framing it. So perhaps, this Taiwan Lives or Taiwan Lives, depends on how you want to read the title. I think maybe might have set a trend in how I continue to write in the future, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, I mean, the biography format is quite approachable, and I do look forward to reading whatever you come out with your climate-related research. Certainly a very topical matter, to say the least, and I think, you know, with all of the Pacific island allies that Taiwan has, for example, has quite some climate change is quite top of mind for them. Well, in any case, I guess we'll probably have to wait a couple of years maybe to see that book, but I do look forward to it. Other than that, Nikki, this was a wonderful conversation. Really enjoyed learning about Taiwan Lives, or Taiwan Lives, depending on how you want to pronounce it. So listeners, if you want to learn more about what we discussed in this episode and learn more about Taiwan through the eyes of 24 figures that Nikki has helped curate, look out for Nikki Alsford's book, Taiwan Lives, A Social and Political History. Nikki, thanks again for coming on the New Books Network.
Thank you, Anthony, for the invitation.